that, we'll move on to item 8C, community development. This is, we'll open the hearing. It's open, and then reading of order, presentation to the record.
Yeah, this is the draft reading, the second reading of a draft ordinance amending zoning sectional map number 10-6.205-284, and this is for, I believe it's the many zone change, second reading.
Presentation of staff report.
Thank you. This is Bernadette Sisson, assistant planner. This is the second reading of a proposed zone change to rezone 2 acres of a 10.9 acre parcel and 2 acres of a 207.89 acre parcel from prime agricultural to rural residential to correct a mapping error. This zone change will not only correct the zoning, but to effectuate a boundary line adjustment, which was proposed in order to consolidate all lands improved for agricultural production into a single parcel. Staff recommends approving the zone change and determining the project exempt from CEQA. There is a recommended motion in the agenda worksheet for this project. Thank you.
Presentation of any correspondence?
The only correspondence received at the clerk's office was actually a returned one of our letters notifying people of the public hearing, and it was received unable to forward. And that's the only thing I've received on our end.
Okay. Presentation of reports or arguments by the county departments or public agencies? Seeing none. Proponents' arguments?
Showing none online.
Opponents' arguments?
Showing none online.
Public comments? None in house.
Showing none online.
No rebuttals. This is the second reading. I'll close the hearing. And discussion or motion by board members?
Move to approve. Second.
I just have a quick comment. We still have the public hearing that's continued on June 14th is for the Ag Preserve, which is a different part of this project, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. All right. So with those in house, I'm going to go back to item 7B, edible food. Have you been before us before on this subject?
Bring anything to eat.
So, Ms. Wendy, are we fine going right to this agenda topic?
Yes, make sure. 7B is the first, yes, it's agendized as a second reading, but I believe that's going to change.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. So, item 7 for the public, item 7B. Edible foods. Yes, please.
Good morning, Joy Hall, the Director of General Services. Here again to speak about SB 1383, Senate Bill 1383. It is to reduce the methane emissions from the organic waste in landfills and create a program for edible food recovery. We are currently exempt from the organic waste requirements, but we are required to have an ordinance for the edible food recovery. I would like to discuss this and have some possible action on the in regards to the edible food recovery. The ordinance was approved for a first reading back in February, but the second reading has been continued to today. However, because there's been changes in the language, I would like to ask that we move this back to a first reading of the ordinance. The purpose of the ordinance is to comply with the state laws requiring the counties and cities to reduce that organic waste, which, again, we are exempt from the organic waste, but we are require the commercial edible food generators to participate in an edible food recovery program. The generators are being required to donate the edible food to an edible food recovery organization. All jurisdictions are being forced by the state to develop this program. The program is unfunded. All cities and counties must adopt their own ordinance and enforceable mechanism to apply within their jurisdictions. If the cities and counties do not do this, there will be a high daily penalty. by making the designations and approving the modification to the Siskiyou County Integrated Solid Waste Management Agency, the JPA agreement, the county will be given the authority to act as the designated enforcement agency for the members of the JPA for the SB 1383 compliance and enforcement and reporting for the AB 341. Even though the cities are delegating enforcement duties to the county, the cities and county are the responsible entities for compliance with their jurisdiction. If CalRecycling enforces non-compliance, it will be enforced on the non-compliant city or county, not the agency operating on behalf of the cities or county. An MOU between the county and the cities will be established to solidify each of our responsibilities. CalRecycle considers this adoption of this ordinance one of the most important aspects in meeting the state's compliance and implementation deadline of January 1st of 2022. The adoption of this ordinance will comply with SB 1383 requirements for the Edible Food Recovery Program.
Questions?
Any questions, colleagues? Or comments? Are you questions or comments? No, this is the first reading.
Yes, I'd like to move back to a first reading because there was some changes.
Yeah, do we have to go through anything on the second reading stuff, Mr. Coonan, or we're just fine treating this as a first reading at this point?
Well, and it wasn't a public hearing
it's
anyway.
No, it was going to be, yeah.
We would just have it here as first hearing in light of the fact that there have been substantive changes since the last time.
All right, sounds good. So any questions or comments from
the room? Just comment. So, we reached out to the consultant and Marshall at CalRecycle, Supervisor Ogren and myself and County Council and Ms. Hall and her staff. And I think after talking and figuring out what was going on, this is kind of the result of that, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, I would think that's a fair characterization.
Okay. So it's still tough, but at least, it smoothed out some of the bumps in the road. I'll put it that way. How's that? Even though this is bumpy, it's at least a little, it's not as quite as bad as I think as it could have been. So.
What's the difference?
I'm going to leave it to council because he went through it.
Yeah, I think we made some changes in the beginning, indicating that perhaps the board collectively was not as enthusiastic as the wording initially made it sound. We made it clear this is something that the state was requiring of us. We also clarified the fact that while the county is doing certain actions on behalf of the cities, that does not mean the county is liable for any deficiencies that the state may later determine exist. That is to say that the cities retain responsibility for compliance with the law, and just because we're doing these things on their behalf doesn't mean that we therefore become responsible for any deficiencies that the state determines might have existed in the way we executed that. It's their responsibility to monitor what we're doing and make sure they're in compliance. What we're doing is in compliance with the law on their behalf.
So how does that affect the enforcement mechanism piece that's been laid on the county?
The way we would still be the enforcement mechanism, I think the logic behind that is we're doing inspections in any event, and this would just be an additional thing that's checked. I think there would be some inefficiencies if you had to have separate enforcement done by the cities, as opposed to incorporating it into the inspections that the county already is doing on behalf of the cities in connection with going to the restaurants. So it doesn't change that. It's just, as I indicated, to the extent that there's any perceived deficiency, that's the responsibility of the cities to the extent that we're within their boundaries. Every place we're doing the inspections, compliance with the law is the responsibility of that entity where we're doing the inspections. It doesn't become our responsibility.
I guess that helps. It doesn't cure, from my perspective. One of the things that I I'm wrestling with it. I have a hard time with it. We do inspections when it comes to health and safety and those kinds of things within city jurisdictions. However, when a city asks us to police things, there's normally a contract and a reimbursement from the city. And I just still feel this crosses that line.
So let me, can get through the chair, just
yes.
expand on that a little bit. Currently, we do the restaurants and grocery stores through public health, or environmental health, excuse me. And that fee is associated with the county. The county gets that fee, the city does not. Correct?
Correct.
Am I correct on that so far? And the idea is, and the way it was first set up was a little more dicey, but under that same premise, what we've come to understand is through CalRecycle that if on the inspection sheet or another separate sheet that has, I think it's, what is it, five or so questions, basically
three
to ask the question, are you X in compliance with, are you doing food recovery, yes or no? Or
do you have a contract with a food recovery
right.
organization
right.
and look in the trash, are they throwing anything
right.
away?
Right, right. And beyond that, that's it. It's become more generic, but yet within our own wheelhouse without encompassing the city. The city would only be encompassed, from my understanding, is if somebody's out of compliance. That's, I guess, where the, how does that work? I think it goes back to the city at that point.
Correct.
And it's off the back of the county. So we're not out anything, it's at least that I can see so far.
Part of the MOU that I'll be bringing later
yes.
does state that
yeah.
they are ultimately responsible
yeah.
for the compliance, and if there's something that is happening in their jurisdiction that they have to help resolve that complaint. And bring them into compliance.
And it has to be by city ordinance, because some of them have resolutions which doesn't work for what at least CalRecycle has informed us about. So that's the other element of
it. Mechanism.
Right.
It helps a little bit, because what I struggle with too is the county stepping into another jurisdiction of an elected council.
Understood.
That represents the people in that city, and it just. I don't. I grew up around the state does that to us. I can only imagine the city level, Big Brother being a county now.
Well, but we are in inspections already.
Yeah.
So it's to, I guess, expedite the process, but also not create, for at least the cities having to do their own inspections.
And through the chair. And just to your point, Supervisor Ha, our power within the cities is pursuant to their having adopted their own ordinance, or that's what they're supposed to do. A couple have done resolutions, the other doing ordinances, and also the MOU, which is contemplated. So we're not forcing this upon the cities. It's something that they sort of voluntarily entered into, in the sense that they've passed ordinances and presumably will pass an MOU. Of course, they're being leaned on the same way that we are by the state, but it isn't us putting the pressure on and we're usurping their power.
I have two more quick ones. One, refresh my memory on how this affects, say, like the grocery store and the camp that's outside the city jurisdiction. Are they too small to be affected?
Well, it depends. If they are, over 10,000 square, excuse me, yes, 10,000 square feet, or make over $2 million, then they are in the program. But if they do not meet those two thresholds, then they're out of it.
Do we know?
They have nothing.
I mean, I don't know those answers, do you?
I'm not sure which one you're referring to, but if there is one in Happy Camp
yeah,
that is required.
Key Fisher in Happy Camp?
Yes, they are.
Surely, the number is 50,000 square feet.
I've had so many numbers, and I believe that's over 10,000. Correct. 10,000 square feet.
I think it's 50,000.
No, I think that's for the tier two, possibly.
Okay.
I'll look again. I'll double check.
Okay, so it might be a bit of an anomaly for the rest of the county, but the Kingfisher Market, Are they required to have an MOU with the county? Huh? That's his work outside of city jurisdiction.
Because Happy Camp is not a incorporated county facility.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. So we don't need an MOU with them.
Okay.
They are in our jurisdiction.
So we do the whole thing there. Okay. And have we had any feedback from them?
I have not personally.
I have talked to them and they were not aware. This was probably been, this would have been the end of February. I contacted them and they were not aware of what was happening here. So I did send them a letter with all the information in regards to SB 1383 and all how to link up to the CalRecycle websites for more information. And I have not heard back from them.
Well, just my concern is they're so darn remote. How are they supposed to communicate with the people that may take this? I mean, that's a major investment, if you will, to haul that material to somewhere up here in this part of the county.
Part of the SB 1383 is capacity planning.
Okay.
So we would look at those things for them and decide, help them to find out where they can do that, where they can transport if they can. And find options for them.
Can they go outside the county?
I am not aware if they can or not. Like, I would imagine that they can, but I'm not 100% sure.
I'm just thinking like Orleans might be their closest source, or even Grants Pass, actually. Okay. The other thing that I find actually hysterical. All this focus on methane gas and composting and everything in California, I listened to one of the undersecretaries this week at the federal level talking about more composting and more use of manure as a substitute for commercial fertilizers. The world is hysterical to me these days.
I did find the numbers for you. It is if their annual gross sales are over 2 million or their facility size is equal to or greater than 10,000 square feet, then they are in the program. And right now we only have 11 within all of Siskiyou County.
So one of the three questions is that they're contracted with somebody, is that correct?
Yes.
So where would they contract with in Camp?
That would be probably part of our capacity planning to find out, to help them find out who they could contract with.
Currently, I don't think statewide there isn't a lot of activity for that, other than with nonprofits.
I know they're most likely the source would be the food bank.
That's correct. Yeah.
In Happy Camp for the group, but I don't know their capacity is either.
And they still work with the food bank up here, and then those main food banks actually have the capacity to drive down and pick food up and then distribute even up here. So, and they do that already. So it's just going to expand with the funding that they already have, and that's already in the works.
So a food bank works for that contract. It doesn't have to be a certified California food recovery vendor.
Yeah,
just an organization.
The Fishers, with the fires and everything else that Happy Camp has endured, it's hard to keep a business there, and I know they've been trying to get out for some time. It's just another thing, another thing to add to somebody's plate.
Any other board comments or questions? If none, entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Is that the recommended motion?
Yes.
And do we want to, we have to get a public hearing for the second reading on June 14th, no later, correct?
Yes, no later than June 14th, otherwise we do not get our grant funding. I have to upload it to the grant website that day.
Okay.
It can't make it the 17th?
No, it has to be published again because this was originally a public hearing that was closed previously. Okay. So we need to do it again.
And then I hate to do this. I should have thought I wrote down my notes on this. The cities have been asked about the change in the ordinance and everything. The cities have been asked about the change in the MOU and the ordinance.
For our ordinance, they have to adopt their own ordinance.
Well, I understand that. Yeah.
But.
Is it just the MOU that's going to say they're responsible, or is
yes.
it already okay?
Yeah.
Okay. The next question. All right.
Did we get a second?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Thank you.
I will.
I did.
All right.
Okay, thank you. And I've got it down to have a public hearing on June 14th for the second reading, and you will get me that information ASAP so we can get it out to the newspaper. Thank
so
you.
So because it's going to be on the day of the day, mm-hmm. that's just making me a little nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine, but if something goes south on us, that defeats the whole purpose, so...
Yeah.
Are we?
Is that we can't move it up at all?
And ordinances cannot be adopted at special meetings. Yeah. So that would be it. Let's see. Are we ready for roll call? Thank you, Supervisor Howe. I don't even want to look.
Don't worry.
Got to have an answer though.
With the changes, I guess I'm not. Very hesitant, yes.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Yeah, it's tough to bite, but we got it. But we've made it more accommodating, so I think we're all right. So
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
And Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
And I will do my darndest to get that ordinance done up. Signed, ready to go for you on the 14th.
59, I think we're good.
We might do it first that day on that agenda. I know public hearings can be heard at any time. We might do that early.
Well, it still takes me processing it, so
okay.
I mean, it won't help necessarily earlier in the meeting. It's just getting it done
processing.
Right afterwards.
All right, we'll make it work. Now, item 7C, discontinuance of this MOU. I know you want to continue to the 14th.
Yes. You would like to see the second reading done before we approve the MOU. Do you want me to talk a little bit about the MOU? Or
was there any changes?
We did make a few little changes in there in that we are making, the cities are, in the MOU, the cities know now that they are ultimately responsible for any compliance or and to provide us information within 30 days so that we can do the reporting. They are be responsible for carrying out all the other applicable SB 1383 regulatory requirements, which is a lot of that is buying recycled paper and having to report on that for themselves. We won't buy the recycled paper and we're not going to report on the recycled paper. And then also work with us to resolve the issues, complaints, and non-compliance with their jurisdictions. In there.
Mr. Kieran?
Yes, and the reason I wanted to have it on for today, even though we're not going to actually pass it until the 14th, is I'm anticipating in between now and the 14th, the cities may adopt the MOU, and obviously we don't want to change the MOU after they've adopted it. So to the extent the board has any feedback or thoughts or changes they would recommend, now's the time to do it, as opposed to on the 14th, at which point in time I expect the cities will have already passed the MOU. The only other thing I would note is there does appear
I'm
to be...
I'm not going to bring it to them until after we pass it.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Still, it would be good now to have any feedback if any changes are appropriate. I would also note that there's a comment that's in the draft that's in the board packet, and so that should be stricken if the board passes it. We don't have our comments. On side. Okay, maybe just my version of it has it.
Yeah, we did. We took those out. And
oh, you mean the actual document has the changes on the site?
Okay. Supervisor Aubrey?
I have a question on the exhibit A.
Sure.
Reporting and record keeping. It refers to the county preparing and submitting all reports, but it doesn't reference any requirement that the cities report to the county?
In the MOU itself, it does state under the city's responsibilities, provide information within 30 days of the request by the county, as or as soon as such information is available. The city will share with the county data, documents, contact information, and commercial edible food generators. So it does say that in the MOU portion that they have.
But I think to where Supervisor Ogre is going, I think you need to add.
You'd like to add that into
Exhibit
A?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking over the responsibilities of the reporting, and I think that that's, it needs to be reiterated that it's the city's responsibility. It starts from the bottom, and I think that's important to note again, that it's the city's responsibility to report out to the county. It's our ultimate responsibility to report finally up to CalRecycle, but they have to get that information to us.
Don't assume.
Right.
Is that language that will be added into section 4, it looks like, of the Exhibit A?
This is on the MOU.
It's in Exhibit A of the MOU, yes.
We'll take a look at that, and we'll add that language. And, you know, since this is an MOU and we don't do two readings, it's fine. I'll take a look at that. It is in the MOU itself, but we can reiterate that point in the Exhibit A.
We'll be voting on that today. Is there any other comments from board members? None? So we'll see you on the 14th.
Do we need an actual motion to continue to the 14th?
We don't.
Okay, thank you.
County Administration, item 7D.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Melissa Cummins, Deputy County Administrator for Personnel Risk Management. The item we have before you today is related to an exemption request to bring Wolf Frank Ward back. CalPERS regulations requires that any employee who retires has to wait a minimum of 180 days. The exemption would allow Mr. Ward to return to work for the Sheriff's Department. He has specific experience related to doing background investigations, and due to the extensive number of vacancies they have at the department, his experience will be instrumental in getting those vacancies filled in a quickly, timely fashion. So we're requesting approval of the resolution, and he would not be able to return to work until we receive confirmation from CalPERS that it has been approved.
Wishes of my colleagues, some questions or motions?
Would you approve?
Second.
Okay. Roll call. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and reconvene as the flood control, recess as the Board of Supervisors, and reconvene as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Item 9A, any public comment?
Showing none online.
No public comment in house. Item 9B.
Through the chair?
Yes, Ms. Davis.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. I'm requesting to have this item pulled for further discussion.
All right.
Not with the board, but department level discussion.
Sure. All right.
So at this time, drop from this agenda?
That is correct.
Thank you.
All right. Then I'll go ahead and do minute approval, and then I'll do what's added. The minute approval for April 5th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Give me a second.
That's right. Roll call.
We had Valenzuela and Ogren. Thank you. Okay. Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Kopsef?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Mm-hmm.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
And now for the added agenda, Mr. Is that for close?
It is, yes.
That's for close, right? We'll adjourn the Sisiski Flood Control Water Conservation District. Convene as the Siskiyou Power Authority. Any public comment?
Show none online.
None in house. Consent agenda?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Director Haupt?
Aye.
Oh, excuse me, Director Kopsev.
Aye.
Director Valenzuela.
Yeah.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Chris.
Aye. We'll adjourn the Siskiyou Power Authority. Convene this County Service Area 4. Any public comment?
Showing none online.
Consent agenda?
Move to approve. Second.
Okay. Let's see, Director Haupt.
Aye.
Director Kopsev.
Aye.
Director Valenzuela.
Yeah.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Chris.
Aye. We'll adjourn this County Service Area 4. Reconvene as the Siskiyou Board of Supervisors. Item 12A, local emergency proliferation of cannabis. Illegal cannabis.
Move to extend.
To approve or to extend?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you.
Motion to the second.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. We'll now do item 13B, the Siskiyou Resource Conservation.
Yes, this is an appointment that for one member to an unscheduled vacancy on the Siskiyou Resource Conservation District. This is for a term ending November 26, 2022, and it's due to Tom Jobson's resignation. The county clerk's office did our posting as normal. At the time the agenda worksheet was created, we had not received any letters of interest in serving on the district board. I would like to continue it if we could and see if we get anybody interested.
Motion to continue.
Second.
Okay. We've got Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
Minute approval for April 5th?
I've received no additional, or no corrections for those Board of Supervisors minutes.
Also move to approve?
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. We have phone calls and stuff. I'm going to go ahead and I don't want to keep the lawyers waiting on that stuff, so we'll go into a closed session.
We haven't still had one public hearing, the groundwater.
Yeah, but we phone calls and stuff. I'm going to go into a closed.
So we want to wait on the public hearing for 8A?
Yes, we want to hold on that. I think it makes sense to do that afterwards. And one thing before we go into closed, I need to make a correction. I mistakenly indicated that there was an urgency item for flood control. Upon thinking about this more closely, I realized it's actually an exposure to litigation for the county, and so I would ask that the board withdraw its urgency item for the flood control and instead approve the urgency item for closed session for the county.
All right. Do you need a motion to rescind the other one and then a motion to add?
I think you can do it collectively. Both the motion would be to rescind the earlier urgency item for flood control and instead substitute an urgency item for the county on the basis that the exposure to litigation came to our attention after the posting of the agenda.
And I'll convene both together.
Would that work? Because they took action as the flood directors. Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, we might mess up. I'm sorry. And that's a very good point, yes. So I'm sorry. We have to get jump through these hurdles, yes. So convene as flood control, withdraw it, and then it.
Thank you. That would be cleanest.
I'll convene as the Flood Control Water Conservation District, which is one of my colleagues on that agenda topic.
Motion maker agrees with the revision.
All right. And you were a second, weren't you?
Yeah.
All
right. Agreed to withdraw.
Withdraw. Okay. Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Kopsev?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Chris?
Aye.
Okay, now.
Well, now adjourn as the Flood Control Water Conservation District and convene as the Board of Supervisors, which is of my colleagues.
And this is to add it to the closed session.
Yes.
Make the motion to add the revisions disclosed by County Council.
Second.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, with that, we'll go into closed session.